The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Hello and welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. I am your host, JP John Paz, and on this week for John Paz Versus, we have none other than producer and podcaster extraordinaire, the man behind the Creative Control Network, the man behind Keeping It 100 with Conan and his various other shows. What's going on, Mr. Joe Feeney? How you doing? Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm feeling very good today. The weekend's about to begin. You know, that's when I get my 3 or 4 hours of free time, maybe. So I'm very excited for that.
Nice. That is great. Are you recording anything this weekend?
There may be a Get My Go tomorrow. I don't think everyone's confirmed that yet. But I usually record with Conan Monday through Wednesday. We do a lot. And then Raven on Thursday. And weekends now I got to get the Angle show to Conrad and Dave Silva on Sunday, and then I got to get to Bischoff on Monday. So there's something to do almost pretty much every day. You know, there's something to do. So,
yes, yeah. I feel like there's a lot to unpack. I don't know if I should go the Get My Go route first, or the Conrad route, or you being a heat magnet. I don't know. What do you?
I like to hear the heat magnet stuff. That's what the people want to hear. So
it's so funny though, because I saw some people. I'm not going to mention names or anything, but you know. Do you get some jealousy out there that you're kind of back with Conrad? Did you get any heat for being back with Connie? I know that's not a bad thing. He's like, you know, the top of the food chain kind of guy, but it's funny because, you know, you were with him, not with him, back with him. Obviously, he could use the help. He could use you. He needs somebody with your expertise to help you out, especially with this Kurt Angle pod, which has taken off. So what's been going on with you getting back in the good graces of Connie?
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to happen. Not that we didn't get off. We didn't leave on bad terms or anything. I was a little surprised when it happened. And then I figured, you know, like I said to you off air, like him and Matt Coon, who came back to produce, they're close, they're buddies, you know, and sometimes I'm not the friendliest guy. So I'm not as close to him as Matt was. Maybe he wanted to help Matt out, or Matt just flat out asked him, hey, can I get back in? Hey, there's only one job. There's only one position. Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to be let go. So I understood it. You know, that's what I said to him at the time. I was like, hey, if you prefer Matt, that's fine. That's business, you know. But Matt had this surgery, and I saw Conrad or somebody tweet, like, you know, had prayers up for Matt Coon. And I texted Conrad. I was like, what's going on? Is everything okay? He's like, well, you know, he's having a back surgery and this and that. And I said, well, tell him. I said, I wish him well. And if, you know, whatever, if he's bored at the hospital, whatever, shoot me a text. I'll BS with him. And he's like, yeah, I might send some things your way. for a little help. And I said, okay. And by like the end of that day, like I had like the next three shows. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm doing this again, you know. And it's been, I'm glad to be back. You know, it's, I've actually starting it over again. I realized that I kind of had it narrowed down to a science, you know, so it's just boop, 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 boop. Like I know exactly what I'm supposed to do, what they need, how the shows go, the rhythm, kind of like keeping it 100. So happy to be back. I think the Angle show is tremendous. It has a lot of, room to grow. He's been around all kinds of shit. So that's good for them. Another bolt in the chamber for Conrad's team there.
Yeah, definitely. And the Angle show has been supremely popular, even just in the regular charts, not even the wrestling charts, just the regular sports charts. So you feel like it's been hitting home run with the Angle, which is probably, you know, just an accomplishment, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's Kurt Angle. It's gotta be successful.
Yeah. Well, he's with the right team, Kurt, you know? So, I mean,
it's funny too, because I had been talking to Angle, just trying to get him scheduled for an interview, which is just, it seems like impossible. He's like, oh, I got so many requests. I got this going on. And this is a few months ago. He goes, oh, I'm starting up a new podcast. I got this. I'm like, oh, wait. And I'm like, sorry for a second. He's like, I got a new podcast. And in my head, I'm like, it's gotta be Conrad, because he's not going to be doing it by himself. You know what I mean? He's not going to be. Yeah. It's so, and I know you hadn't done it because you probably would have mentioned it or something to me, but yeah. I was like, oh, he's got to be back with Conrad. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of waiting for it. And then it came and boom, it exploded very, very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, Kurt's done some shoots and whatnot, but I think that's some material that's not really been mined. Some stuff you've heard the stories over and over again, but Kurt's, there's a lot that we haven't heard. So it makes it interesting. You know, it's new stories, new knowledge.
I feel like those guys that were in WWE for a while, I know he did have an extensive run in TNA, but those WWE guys are kind of hidden for a while. They don't do many interviews. And when they do interviews, they're like kind of a little bit in the can or a little bit scripted. You know what I mean? Like they know what to say. They're not going to piss off PR. They're not going to piss off Vince. Like, so Angle doing this is like opening Pandora's box, because we never really got a lot of the true stories, a lot of the good stuff, the WrestleMania 19 stuff with his neck, and was he even supposed to be in the match? Was Benoit going to be somehow interjected in the match? Just interesting kind of stuff from him. So I just think that's really cool. Is this like for you, is this going to be like a focus of like, is Conrad saying you're the Kurt Angle guy? Is that basically the gist of it?
I'm doing them all right now other than Tony. Tony does his own show, but since a couple of weeks ago, it was strange because I only did Arn, and I got the message that well, Matt's ready to come back, and I said, all right, thank you, you know, here's my invoice. And then like in the next few days I started getting the shows again, and I just asked Dave Silva, I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I think you're doing them, you know, for the foreseeable future or whatever. And I was like, all right, that's whatever, cool. So I don't mind, you know. It's like I said, I have it down to a science. It's another little monthly check or whatever to throw on the pile, so it's good. And I like the shows, because it led me that way anyway. I was at the first Conrad and Bruce live show in Orlando, you know. I was listening to their stuff, so it's kind of funny how I was a fan of Conan and MLW, and I wound up working with him, and I was a big fan of Conrad and Bruce, and wound up doing those shows too. So it's cool to be associated with them. It's like I said, I've always been a fan of their stuff. It's funny you mentioned Angle, and I'm more interested to hear some of the TNA shows when they come up, because it seems to me that like with Eric or Bruce, even some of their best stuff is TNA, is a TNA episode, because again, that stuff hasn't been that mined. You know, Eric never talked about TNA, so now you hear all this. It's like all new. You know, it's not Bruce talking about Warrior versus Hogan again or something, let's say, or Bischoff talking about Goldberg. You know, it's like, oh, they're going to talk about Against All Odds 2008. Holy shit. You know, that's different.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. I always try to get like Dutch to talk about it. Dutch hates TNA. He won't talk about it. So it's awesome hearing it from like Angle or even Bischoff or something to finally get it. Cause you're right. Nobody really talks much about it. Cause Dixie's not talking, obviously. And, you know, a bunch of Jarrett doesn't really talk. So it's interesting.
Yeah, well, Jarrett once he went to WWE, he was gone. It was too bad, because he was a great guest for Conan's show. He was a kind of like a regular for a little while, but
yep. Yeah, he's awesome. How come no Tony? Does he have the DDP team doing it? Is that why?
I don't know. I think he just learned how to do it. I think he's been doing it since the beginning, or he has. I'm sorry. I know that guy Adam helps him out, so he might just have a guy himself. But I know that he's also done it on his own, so he has his own little separate thing, I guess, you know.
Oh, look at him. Look at Tony becoming,
goes.
Yeah. Go back to his like producer days, you know, in WCW behind the scenes. Yeah.
Yep.
So what do you think about, like, the workload, though? Is it becoming – I know you said you have a dent of science, but that seems like it's got to be a lot of shows. You got all the Creative Control shows. You got your shows, Keeping 100, Conrad shows, which aren't short, by the way. They're usually pretty long in length. So how do you do it? How do you manage all your time?
I've just gotten better at it. Like, this time last year is when I started leaving the Conrad shows, and he was bringing Matt back in. And at first I was like, oh, what the fuck? You know, what did I do something, whatever? And then it was almost like a relief, because it does take a lot of time. And I was like, I meant to use that free time on other projects, which some I did, some I didn't. And, but you know, now that I've kind of got it down, like I said, it's a little crazy because they're always scheduled to do something. So if you want to go out, or if you want to have a date with your wife or whatever, you're working around work, but that's how everybody does it. You know, that's how everybody's life is. Mine's just a little different. And actually, it's a little more manageable because I'm just here and I can kind of just do things whenever I want. I can finish whenever I want. Vacations are kind of out of the question for the foreseeable future. But, you know, no, I used to let it get to me before, but now I've just gotten better at it. So it doesn't bother me.
With adding, like, the Conrad shows, does that take more time than the Creative Control shows? Like, what's like the pie, the pizza pie. Can you break it up into the different sections?
Conan stuff, man. Sometimes we'll start recording and then we'll realize you've been recording, you know, it's supposed to be an hour and a half. We've been recording 4 hours, you know, sometimes that just goes, but it's all good because the content comes out on the show. The content goes on Patreon. The content goes on YouTube. You can always use the content. It's just sometimes we record a lot of hours in a week for what people think is a 2 hour show. And then editing it is very specific too. So, that's like a 12, I would say with the recording could be 8 hours, let's say, and the edit might be about 10 to 12. Like, that's almost, Conan's thing has always been almost like a part-time job, you know, like a regular 25 hour job. Yeah. Conrad's, it's like a couple hours a day, five days a week, I guess. And then on the side of that is when I have emails coming, you know, from you or Husey or Durbin or the, you know, Shane Hagedorn or anyone. Francine and Chad, you know, so they're there too. I got to make sure those shows go up. And at the same time, I'm responding to sponsors. I'm trying to set things up. I'm looking for new companies to talk to. And, you know, it can be a lot. And the phone's always in your hand, which gets a little aggravating, you know, like you just want to put it down sometimes. But again, this is where I wound up. This is the business that I'm doing right now. And I can't, you know, what's the saying? When the sun's shining, make wheat or whatever the hell it is. The sun's shining and I'm trying to cash in, you know, while I can. I have these different opportunities. I might as well. You can't say no, right? Who knows what things are going to lead to?
Yep, that's true. And you are keeping busy. But how the hell is Conan doing? He had a little bit of a scare.
Yeah, he's better. It was, as reports have come out, and he spoke on the show the other day, like, it was pretty dire. And he was in trouble. You know, he had the kidney transplant years ago. And then, which, you know, I always knew his health and stuff was going to make him one of the people that you don't want to get COVID, because it goes after those if your health's compromised or whatever.
Yep.
So he wound up getting COVID and it just screwed with his kidneys, and he was kind of frustrated with the medication and the doctors. And, you know, it took him a while to get on the team. He was kind of fighting with the doctors and stuff. But once he did, you know, once he saw how bleak things were going to be, and they spelled it out to him in black and white, like, you could die pretty much, you know, he figured out what was going on and got into the program and, you know, took his medicine and got better. And, it's funny because he came back Tuesday or Wednesday to record this past week. And, man, he came out on fire. Like, it was like, you know, sometimes you expect someone to have that kind of experience, they're going to be a little calmer, a little, you know, meeker or whatever. And he came out blazing. I was like, damn, he came back angrier, you know.
Yeah, maybe he would have low energy or something. Yeah.
He had it all built up. He was ready to talk, and it was a great show. It's a great show. People are still talking about it.
So he's not out of the woods yet. He's okay. He's back to taking his medicine, or what's kind of the latest on his health?
He said that, he said on Keeping It 100, he felt about 70%. So he, as long as he's home, he's, you know, keeping up with his medicine, he's taking care of himself, I think he's going to be fine. He's going to be out of the woods, you know. I mean, he's out of the woods, but you know what I mean. He'll be back to 100% in the next few weeks.
Is that one of those things where he's like, guys, I want to record, or you guys are saying to him, hey, can you record?
We did it last week because he was still in the hospital. And then this week, we did some segments without him, and then by Wednesday, he was ready to go. Because usually we record Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we use Monday if there's something else, like for Patreon or someone specifically needs to interview that day. Like, sometimes, if we'll have Meltzer on, like he has small windows. You got to work, you know, because he's not. Yeah. But usually we record Tuesday and Wednesday from 4:30 Eastern to like 7. And by Wednesday, Conan was ready to come back. So that's it. We just checked with him. Hey, are you cool? You know, and he was ready to record. So, but usually we have the same scheduled stuff. So he knows what we're doing. He knows what's going on.
I feel like he's like old school to the bone. Like if he can breathe, if he can walk, he's going to work. You know what I mean? Like totally. You figure he'd take a few weeks off, but man, he's right back in the thick of things.
He jumped right back in. I was expecting a little bit of that, you know, because we had Nick Aldis kind of to sit in his chair for a week. And I was saying to Disco, like, you know, should we, you know, maybe next week we could have Conrad on to talk about this or sports. And then maybe we'll bring over Pat McNeil, or we could have John Paz on, or, you know what I'm saying? Like for different segments. And it just didn't happen. Conan was back. So it wasn't necessary, but that's kind of what my thinking was. Maybe we should have a little bit of a variety show for a couple of weeks, but it was only the 1 week without him, and he's back, and he's vicious.
I don't know if you saw this or noticed this, but Glenn, Disco Inferno, was not happy that Conan took the week off. He said that he will replace him if necessary.
Yeah, he was looking for a doctor's note too. But
yeah.
He said he considers it a no-call, no-show. So that's usually like three strikes and you're out. So
yeah. What is up? I mean, that's tougher than tough right there. He's being hard on the star of the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's his move. That's his move. No excuses. I think with the Disco list, someone even said, like, you know, now that Conan, you know, looked death in the eye and came back and this and that, does that get him off the list? It's like, no, not, why would that get him off the list? You don't get off the Disco list once you're on there.
That is so funny, though, that he was like, Nick Aldis did a great job. You know, like maybe he'll replace Conan. I just thought that's so funny. Like, man, he's heartless. He is brutal. He is heartless.
Yeah. Conan's in there, you know, going through whatever, and Disco's on the show going, he could be faking it. I don't know what's going on. He might be faking it, you know. So.
This guy's in the hospital. The doctors are yelling at him to take better care of himself, and Disco's ripping him.
Yep. Well, it's not like he came back tan or anything, or tanner. So I don't think he was on vacation.
True. What did Conan have to say to Disco?
Oh, they're good. They had actually the show. They had like a nice little Conan. You know, had like a little heart to heart with him, kind of, and just was talking about his life and what he learned and who his true friends were and stuff. And it was, like I said, it was a really good segment. He said to DI, like, if I, you know, came back to life in another life, I'd want you to be my friend again and stuff like that. You know, very emotional man stuff. You know, they probably would have had a big hug if they were in the same room and all that.
Nice. Disco does play great heel though. You know what I mean? If the guy's down and out, he'll kick him when he's down.
Yeah. It's kind of like Conan's like, yeah, man, you're one of my best friends. And if I came back in another life, I want you to be my best friend again. And Disco's just like, okay. He's just, you know, he's cold. He's going to sell it, you know, but it's funny. It's just the way he is, you know, but he's a good dude.
Did you guys let Conan know that he wanted Nick Aldis to replace him, or that's going to be a tough thing for Conan to hear?
Oh, I don't think Conan would. He'll burn down the building with himself in it. I don't think there wouldn't be a keeping it 100 without Conan, you know?
I just think it's so funny, though. Like, Disco, I know he's like obviously joking, but it's just so funny. He's like, you know, Nick Aldis did good last week. You know, Conan, if you can't make it, yeah.
Yeah, that's how Shane Helms was like that when he would come in and do segments before, too. Shane did a great job, but back with WWE, we can't use him, you know?
Yeah, is he still doing Highwood Helms, or that's kind of on the back burner?
It's on the back burner, but he's supposed to have one by this week, so before the end of the weekend, so I'm just waiting on that. But I realize while he's back, or if he's back, it's going to be it's not going to be weekly unless he really has time. But with all the travel, he said he had a bunch of additional duties recently, so I get it. You know, it's a very, you know, casual open door policy with CCN. It's kind of like, yeah, if you can do it, great. If you want to release it on different days, I don't care. If you're going to take a couple weeks off, whatever, you know, just let me know. And so I'm not holding anyone's feet to the fire. And certainly Shane, you know, lent his name to the network at the beginning, which is great. So it's up to him when he wants to release shows, and it's always going to be there when he wants it. So
with like Shane and WWE and stuff, is that something where WWE says, oh, yeah, I don't want you doing podcasts, or you have already set in stone before, you know, he's got the show, then he goes to WWE? It's one of those things where Shane's like, no, I'm keeping the show. Like, how does that work with WWE?
I think he mentioned it to them and they didn't have a problem with it. Like, just that simple, you know. But I'm assuming if they get their WWE podcasting network on or whatever it is they're doing. I know they have Corey Graves has a show, and there's New Day maybe has a show. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if they ever wanted to have Highway to Helms, and there's nothing I can do about that, you know.
So, right.
But as I know, they just said, hey, yeah. And, you know, if you're making a couple bucks off it, cool, whatever. But who knows with the way that they're pulling talent off of certain things. But as of right now, Shane's still with Highway to Helms with Creative Control Network, and it's there when he's available.
And I feel like he should be able to do it because he's not quote-unquote talent. He's an employee. Like Bruce, you know, Bruce is able to do it. Right. Plus, Bruce had the contract written in and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. He just can't do live shows. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you know, you're not technically – you know, talent, or you're not, you know, one of the wrestlers. I feel like there's much more leniency with the actual employees.
Yeah. And even if you remember back in the day, certain guys like Dreamer or Al Snow would be on the indies, you know, and they would be producers or trainers and stuff, but they had it written in that they could still work indies and make that money. So I just always remember that.
Yep. As far as kind of just going back to Conan for a minute, so he's back, right? He's back, not better than ever, but he's back, and he's going to be doing his show. Yeah. Is that going to be basically still the main focus of you, though? Like, is it still like, is he healthy enough to do 20 hours a week, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, fuel 4 hours here, 4 hours here? Going to be back to business?
Yeah, I think so. And if not, we'll just figure it out. We'll work around it. But I think he's fine. He did, you know, whatever, two or three on Tuesday and two or three on Wednesday, whatever it was when we recorded after AEW and NXT. So, and like I said, it's not like he was docile. Like, he was in it. Like, not only did he come out on fire from talking about his situation in the hospital, but he was harder than ever on Raw and NXT and AEW and everything like that. Like, he was spitting fire. It's one of the best shows I think that Kingdom 100 ever did.
What do you think about what Tony Khan said about what Conan said about, like, ripping AEW? Like, I'm the reason AAA was successful. I booked the Young Bucks versus Phoenix and Pentagon.
I don't know. I think he just, he's seen YouTube clips and stuff. Thank you, Husey. And that, you know, he looks at, like, we're burying him or putting, you know, casting him in a bad light and things like that. But if he listened to the show, he would hear that it's the fairest wrestling pocket. It's as fair as it could be. It's not like, you know, Cornette, he likes to shit on things, you know, and that's part of his deal now. Keeping it 100, if it's good, we say it's good. And we've said stuff on AEW is good. Sometimes I'm the devil's advocate on the show to say, hey, no, I'm looking forward to the friggin' exploding barbed wire match, you know? Yep. But I think he has a perception that Conan's just burying him like a Cornette, you know, or Russo or whatever. And it's not the case. It's not the case. And they do work together. And they've, you know, had conversations and whatever, and they, you know, talent goes to AAA, AAA talent comes up, so they have a great working relationship. I just think maybe someone asked Tony the question, and it was a public interview, so he had to respond and maybe try to take a little zinger back, you know, and that's all. I don't see any real problem or anything like that. It's just podcast stuff and people trying to you know, make themselves big and all.
I feel like the obvious thing though is like, okay, yeah, you let the Young Bucks work there, but the Young Bucks wanted to work in AAA. So it's not like you did, oh, but I booked it and I did that. Anybody could have thought of that. I mean, Conan could have thought of that. I mean, it's just kind of, to me, obvious. Like, you're going to have the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers feud, whether it's in AEW or AAA, it's just obvious to me. Is it? So I don't know. I wouldn't be patting myself on the back thinking right, like I'm some sort of genius. Like, yeah. Come on.
Those guys already worked there.
I mean, they
all had experience working with Conan before AEW even existed. So... But
he did the same thing with the New Japan guys too. Like, oh, I let them work New Japan. Well, they were working there before you. So yeah.
Yeah. He needs, I think, and believe me, he's a billionaire and I'm just some dude, but I just think he needs to be careful at how he's presenting himself like that. And obviously the Observer Awards came out. So AEW and Tony have very loyal, loud section of the fan base. They're going to support anything they do, but things like that, when Tony says that, and I know the Forbidden Door is a gimmick and stuff, and the Impact vignettes are like just for fun. But I think some of that stuff doesn't make him look good. It makes him look cocky and smug, and not in a, I want to cheer this guy away or support his product. It kind of comes across as, you know, a little, it's just not, I don't like it. It comes across a little annoying and obnoxious, and he's supposed to be the top guy. You know, not everybody can be Heyman or Vince. You know, sometimes it's better to be quiet and just give publicly, you know, PR rehearsed answers and don't try to be a character. And I don't know. I think people are going to slowly turn against him, you know, not the loyal fans, but.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you're not a natural on TV. I don't know if you need to go to acting school or whatever, or maybe you just don't be on TV at all, but Bischoff was a natural. Yeah. Heyman is a natural. Vince McMahon is a natural, maybe the best of the bunch, which is crazy to say because all three of those guys are tremendous on camera. Tony Khan, you just are not good on camera. You just do not belong there. Even Russo was good on camera, but Khan is just not good, and it's not doing him any favors.
I've always said that one of the top things wrestling fan hates, and one of the top things that I hate as a wrestling fan is nepotism. That's why guys like Roman Reigns had it so hard. It's like, oh, here he goes, the golden boy from the Samoan family. Here we go. They're going to hand him everything. He had it so hard. Wrestlers' kids have it hard. You know, Eric Watts had it incredibly hard in the 90s, stuff like that. You know, Jimmy Snuka Jr., whatever. I'm just you know, naming names. Ted DiBiase Jr. They're not all going to make it. Fans are really hard when there's nepotism. And when someone... You know, if you own the company and you're on TV, it's not nepotism, but people are going to see that as like, you know, being an egomaniac. And, you know, if the talk about the guy is always, he's got his wrestling toy box and he's playing with his toys and stuff. When you put yourself on TV like a character, that's what it seems like. You're just the master of the toy box, you know, and people were, I said it on Keeping It 100 this week. People were so, I don't understand why Tony gets a lot of a pass. And again, I like AEW. I'm looking forward to the pay-per-view. It's actually, you know, the show I look forward the most to each week when I have to watch them for the show. I like AEW. I like Jericho. I like Moxley, you know, Omega, all that stuff. But, you know, TNA and Impact had a good product sometimes, right? They had a lot of stars. They had a lot of young guys. They had guys like AJ and Joe and Daniels killing it and Loki and the Machine Guns. But Impact got a, you know, they had a sour taste to the name, and Dixie got, she had it harder than anybody. You know, everyone buried every decision she made and how she's run the company to the ground. She's a money mark. And Tony never gets any of that type of criticism that Dixie got. And I don't know if that's because Tony came from the IWC. He used to be on the message boards. That's very funny that I found out he was on the Death Valley Driver message board. I was on there back in the day. I was on the Smart.
Me too.
Whatever.
Yeah. Me too.
So knowing that Tony is kind of one of us, I think that's why he gets a lot of support. But he's certainly able to make the same mistakes Dixie made. But will he get the same criticism? It doesn't seem that way so far. You know, it seems like he's their special guy. He's their special boy. So,
yep. It's funny, like I'm on there looking back in the day, looking for Dustin of the Day when Phil Schneider used to put down the DVD board about how Dustin Rhodes is better than Triple H, and he was showing all these matches and stuff. And it's like Tony Khan's on there too, like, you know, marking out for Dustin.
He mentioned the sleaze thread. I think someone said Tony Khan started the sleaze thread. I'm like, that is fantastic. That's the funniest thing I ever heard.
Weird. Yeah, you don't kind of think of that. But I just don't like how he goes, oh, I've been booking since I was 11 years old on forums. Like, that's not booking.
Yeah,
like, when you say stuff like that, and I know the money really comes from his dad, so the nepotism thing is kind of like, okay, like, yes, this guy is some rich kid who is a mark just like us. He's the same age as us. He's a mark. Like, but it's like, man, he takes it too far. Like, if you were booking since you were 11, then so was I. I'll go get my old notebooks when Vader was, you know, beating Sting in a cage match. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man, it doesn't count.
Yeah, we all booked with our action figures, and then some of us went on and played the promotion wars games or TEW, which is pretty popular. So that's I saw that when I first started hearing from Tony Khan and read his interviews and whatever, I was like, this dude played booking games. I know he did, and I'd be interested to talk to him about it. But you know, that's if he's been booking since he was 11, we've all been, you know, doing it in our head or writing it down or playing games. So that covers a lot of people. A lot of people have done that.
Yes. So with the sweep of the one awards, basically by AEW, they basically won every award. Anybody kind of mention this to Meltzer that him and Alvarez obviously promote AEW. They say AEW is the best. So they kind of got that into their fans' heads. People that vote obviously have heard that a million times. Has anyone kind of mentioned that they probably won because you do nothing but nonstop promote them?
It's probably the case. And you know, companies, smart people in wrestling have known for a while that a way to get through to the fans, what you want to get across and whatever, is by talking to the sheets. You know, Heyman did it all the time. From what I understand, to get ECW over, there's wrestlers that would be Dave's sources. And then in turn, you know, Dave might give them a little wink and a nod and a break. He always says he didn't. He says, I judge matches. Fucking whatever, you know, and I don't give anyone a break. But you know, if you're somebody's source, they're not going to bury you too much either. They need you. So I think Tony, I'm not saying he's played the sheets or whatever, but by having a good relationship with websites and newsletters and stuff, it's just smart on his part as far as getting the perspective of his company, you know, out there in a good light. And that's what he does. You know, you don't see too many negative AEW show reviews or whatever. It's just, there's not too much of it. The only thing I remember was when they had the match in Baltimore with Omega and Moxley. And I did see some complaints like, God damn, that was too violent. You know, so I can't imagine what they're planning for this barbed wire match. I think that's pretty crazy to put that on an international pay-per-view. That seems like a small regional niche thing. And I'm like, damn, Tony, he must have one of his in his notebooks from when he was younger, exploding barbed wire. Yeah. So, you know, it's nuts. But yeah, no, I agree with you that certainly the perception of AEW through guys like Meltzer, and, you know, I don't know how Mike Johnson treats him. I haven't read his stuff in a little bit, or Keller or whoever. It definitely influences the readers. It influences people on Twitter. And yeah, that's a tight group of fans. You know, ECW is the opposite of AEW, but they're like the ECW fans in that they want to support everything this company's going to do. I explained it to Disco on the show. He's like, why are they coming out with action figures? Who gives a shit? I'm like, dude, you don't understand. Everyone that's into that hardcore is going to buy every one. They're a completist. They need every figure, and maybe the variety, like the different versions. Oh, Jericho's got the champagne bottle. I got to get that one. You know? So I was trying to tell him, like, people that have, there's less fans, but they're spending more money. And I'm not a genius. Everybody said that, but that's truly what it is. They're going to buy all the shirts. They're going to buy all the figures. They're going to buy different versions of the video game, and they're going to go to the shows, and they have that fan base. But of course the criticism is always like, all right, you guys have that, but what are you going to do to expand it? You know? So, and I don't think Jack's going to be the way to, to expand.
Yeah. I feel like totally like they're just keep playing to that base. They're not trying to expand that base because they're like almost nervous. Like, okay, we have this base. We don't want to lose them. They're going to buy all the action figures. They're going to buy the video games. Yeah. They're going to, you know, 800,000, whatever people is, are going to watch the show every week. So mm-hmm. they are like nervous to lose that fan base, but you got to start expanding a little bit because I think those fan base will be there no matter what. Yeah. Then you try to add on and get some more fans.
Yeah. Well, it's a matter. And I, like I said, I do defend AEW and Tony Khan on the show a lot. Like, I think they've made a lot of the right moves. Like, starting out with Jericho as your face, of course you would. Why wouldn't you? Bring it in Moxley, who's one of the hottest guys in WWE. Of course you would. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you give him the belt? Build an Omega slow. I get it. This audience, this TV casual audience might not have known him. Let's build him slow and give him the belt. I get it. I understand a lot of the things they've done. Maybe that's because we both booked in notebooks. You know, maybe that's why he's known. But to expand the audience, you got to make stars. And, you know, I've said this a lot, like Darby Allin doesn't do a thing for me. I think he brings Sting down. I don't get it. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. I've seen him. He takes a lot of great risks and stuff. I just don't get it. And maybe that's because I'm an old fart and he's smaller. You know, a lot of fans that grew up around our time in the 80s and 90s and whatnot, some of us do have that prejudice to this guy's too small. He's not believable. Maybe that's it, but they put a lot of muscle behind Darby Allin, and I'm like, man, there's so many guys on this roster you could be. Yep. You know, I watch and see guys like, you know, Kazarian and Daniels, even though the older guys on the roster, sometimes they're not on TV, and you're like, where's Kazarian, you know? Or LAX finally had a title match. I'd love to see those guys do more, and there's a lot of guys that they won't be on television, and I'll be like, I wouldn't have left those guys on the sidelines, you know, for some of the guys that you do put on Dynamite.
It is crazy too, because Miro will be on for a minute and then he's gone for like 3 weeks. It is like the booking is crazy, and I think they have something like 80 wrestlers signed or something, which is way too much for only one TV show. I know they have Dark, but it doesn't really count. One TV show, 2 hours a week, you can't have 80 guys. It's just too much. You can't get enough guys. Even Cody Rhodes has barely been on, which is weird.
Yeah, that's almost WCW had like 130 or 140.
Yes.
5 hours of TV program, 7 hours of TV programming, eight hours. You know, there was a lot between Nitro, Thunder, Saturday Night, Pro, Worldwide, whatever else they were running, and then the pay-per-views. Like,
yep. And then they even had WCW Prime. They had all these other shows. Yeah.
I miss WCW.
Yeah, me too. They were the best.
They were the best.
I know people disagree with me, but they were the best. They were my favorite.
The best. You can't, excuse me, you can't beat that when you have it on and it's just like, hey, by the way, it's Louis Spicoli versus Marty Jannetty. And you're like, what? What kind of match? Who booked this? Holy shit. And you have, you know, Eddie versus Ultimo Dragon, or, you know, Raven fighting Stevie in a hardcore match. Like, they had everything. everything. It was such a great time to rediscover wrestling was that Nitro era.
Definitely, for sure. And even a buddy of mine, because I was talking to him about Super Brawl 3 from 93, and he goes, Benoit versus Scorpio. He goes, man, yeah. WCW used to put on just awesome matches, because I was sending him the card. He goes, man, I don't even remember that show. I said, well, the main event, Sting versus Vader, is awesome. Yeah. I go, but look at the rest of the card. He's like, whoa, Heavenly Bodies, Rock and Roll Express, whoa, Scorpio, Benoit. I feel like WCW always did that. They always appealed to me as a fan. It's like, wow, that's an awesome match. That's an awesome match. Damn, they pulled shit out of nowhere.
That's, I wish the network had more complete WCW Saturday Night. Last time, maybe they do now. Last time I looked, they didn't. But I would sit down and watch 1992 WCW Saturday Night, you know, if they had them. But I don't think they have them all. They have, like, certain cards Austin was on, or certain shows Rick Rude was on, or Paul, or whatever. It's not a complete library. So, but at some point, I'd definitely love to go back and just watch them right in a row, you know?
I think I got them from like Crazy Max or something, you know, like some DVD play guys where they can get you to watch Saturday Night 92. Yeah. I loved it because, you know, you'd get like Sting, Nikita, and the Steiners against Jake, Rude, Vader, and Hercules, or Invader. Right. And you're like, holy shit, this is unbelievable. Like, just they would throw stuff at you. You're just like, this is freaking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get, because I, not only that, but I miss ECW a lot, obviously. I mean, everybody does that was a fan, but I miss the shows, man. I used to just go down the arena for House of Hardcore, or, you know, back in the day, Jersey All Pro or 3PW or whatever. Like, I miss having my building there 15 minutes away, man. I want to go to shows. That's like, now, you know, it's me and my dad's thing. We're both getting older, man. I want to take my dad to some shows. What's going on here? So hopefully this year we get back to some sort of normalcy.
Didn't I see AEW was planning on running NORC again, NORC, New Jersey? I thought that they were planning, like, I think it was September, maybe?
I keep seeing dates still pop up. Like, it's like AEW Dynamite, Philadelphia, April 4th or April 7th. And I'm like, I don't think so.
No way.
Like, I don't know why this is still listed. It'll just be rescheduled again. But, yeah, hopefully. I've even considered going down for a show or just to go somewhere, you know. But I don't know. We'll see. Or maybe go down Mania. I don't know.
Yeah, what about WrestleMania in Tampa?
It's just, when I went one time in Orlando, and I actually didn't go to WrestleMania. I went down and I did all the other stuff, WrestleCon and Pritchard Live and Wally Mania and Joey Janela's show and all this stuff. And I had my wife with me, so I was trying to make it a variety. We went to Access, stuff like that. She's not a fan, but she did it for me. And so I went to make it fun for her. But part of the deal was, we'll go to these amount of shows and then we're going to Disney World. So Sunday I was in Disney World. And we came back for our little break, and I put the network on my laptop real quick, and the Hardys came out. I was like, holy shit, I wish I would have been there for that. But so I've never gone to a WrestleMania. You're right. Maybe this might be the year, but I like to see, like I was saying, what the shows are on the outside. Like, what's WrestleCon going to do? What's GCW going to do, or whoever? And just see what's going on. Who's going to have live shows? Maybe there's not going to be any. I don't think, I can almost tell you 99%, I don't believe Conrad's doing anything, any live shows. So that's a big chunk. People love that shit. They love seeing Eric or Tony or, you know, Arn or whoever. So, but hopefully something, hopefully somebody gets something together, you know, and there's decent live shows. If something really good comes up, I would go down.
It's interesting. I've been to WrestleMania 10, had great seats. I've been first row at WrestleMania 15. Nice. Since then, I have not been. I was going to go to 20, but the tickets were insane, the amount of money that they were asking for 20, so didn't go. I don't know. The modern WrestleManias haven't been interesting to me. I don't like the setup. I haven't really cared for any of the matches. Like, nothing really gets me excited about modern wrestling, but I haven't been to a show for so long, so I was like, man, should I go to Tampa for Manias? Yeah. I know you're, like, dying to go see a show.
Yeah. And I get you, like, seeing a wrestling show in a giant stadium ain't the greatest either, but I'd like to say I went one time, so this might be the time, you know, just to say, because I've been to WWE pay-per-views and TNA, and I've been to Nitros and ECW and stuff, but I never been to a WrestleMania, so maybe it's about that.
Damn, you got a shock. You didn't go to WrestleMania 15. It was in your wheelhouse there in Philly.
I watched it at a friend's place. I remember it was an older friend that worked at the same place as me. Let us use his apartment, and we were all 17. So, of course, it was hammer time. We were all enjoying ourselves and then watching the show and getting drunk and rowdy, and there was a party afterwards. It was one of the first times, like, an older friend let us party at their place. That's why the memory, I still have it, you know. But, yeah, that was fun. Good times. The card sucked. but you know.
Yeah, literally me. It was me and my buddy, and his dad came. He was a big fan, and my brother, and like, we're like, man, this isn't that great until the main event of Austin Rock, which was awesome. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, they friggin' like literally fell on our laps, basically. Yeah. They got thrown into it. So like, this is awesome. So we have such a good memory of the main event because we were there live, but I could see anybody on TV hating it, not liking it. Plus, you know, you take the chair home and all that other stuff. Yeah. So we loved it. We loved the main event, but the rest of the show was a little weak, especially since LOD, you know, they were in the pre-show, not on the show. Oh, like,
that's right. Yeah.
Public Enemy. Yeah. We were like, oh man, we got teased.
Yeah. And Foley versus the Big Show wasn't great. You know, people expected a lot out of Mick for WrestleMania and it just wasn't very good. So, yeah, I never been to Mania, but I've been to like a few shows in Philly, the pay-per-views in the last 5 years or so, or six. So I was at the Rumble when Reigns got booed, which was such an incredible experience just to be in that visceral hatred in the crowd, you know? And then, what was the next one? And that had a great match between Cena, Lesnar, and Rollins.
Yes. Yep. I was there as well. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I went to, I think it was, I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was Money in the Bank in Philly. I got the chair around here somewhere, but it was the one where Taker teamed up with Reigns and then Lesnar came in and cashed in on Rollins. So that was a unique experience too, to see Taker live, which is unbelievable, you know, to this day, and then see Brock come in and take the belt. That was pretty great too. So, you know, and then I was at Elimination Chamber last year. It's the last pay-per-view with fans and it just wasn't very good. So it's hit and miss. Some are great and some are like, meh.
An Undertaker Cage match. He looked great in that match, actually. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely enjoyed that. Yeah, I don't know. To me, sometimes it's like, man, you almost wish you could go back and be that young fan again and you know, have the show be awesome and have this going on. You know, have The Rock cutting, like, silly-ass promos, calling Kevin Kelly a Hermie or, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you get into it, like, oh, that was fun. That was hilarious. Like, I don't know. Sometimes you go to the shows now as a fan and you're let down a lot more than you used to be.
Yeah. I wish, of course, go back to being the young fan, but I would have tried to get involved a lot sooner. You know, I was on the shows at the arena back in the day, and it just never, the show's over and I left. I was never the person trying to hang with the wrestlers or reaching over the guardrail or trying to go in the back. It just, I don't know why. I was just a viewer, you know. And then when I started going to the Monster Factory and stuff, it was only, oh God, that would be 7 years ago already. But so I started in 2014, and I always think, like, man, if I would have been ahead of the game, even as a 18-year-old doing real audio shows in 2000, or if I would have started 10 years ago and covered Ring of Honor live, and there's just, you know, you think about those things, how your direction might have changed if, and I think I started a little late, but you know, it's worked out. So I still kind of look at it like, man, I wonder what it would have been like if I would have been around, you know, the latter days of WCW as an 18-19-year-old punk trying to get into business, you know?
Yeah. So with Monster Factory, were you there to train at all as a wrestler, or are you just there to, you know, learn the other side of the business?
Yeah. Well, I went to my first seminar there was Joel Gertner, excuse me, and his seminar was what drew me in because it was called the Business of the Business. And I was like, oh, so this is kind of going to be like, what can you do if you don't want to get in the ring, but you want to be involved, which was where I stood at the time because I was out of work with a back injury. And I was already in my 30s and, you know, hadn't been taking care of myself that great. So there's no way I was going to get through Monster Factory training. When, if you've never been to a wrestling school that takes it very seriously, like the Monster Factory is almost like a mini performance center. They do the same workouts. It's unbelievable seeing the shape that these guys and girls are in. Like, it's incredible the kind of stuff that they do when they're training to be a wrestler, or just, you know, they're already a wrestler and they're staying in shape. One night of seeing the training, I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to do this. But no, I hung around and guys like Danny Cage and Damian Priest were there. Blue Meanie, Bill Wiles, Matt Riddle had his first match there. LSG, who's in Ring of Honor now. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. QT Marshall was there, you know. So I got to hang around all these dudes and listen to them talk and pick their brains and sit in the back during the show and hear the guys who booked it talk about the matches that was going on and interject my thoughts and stuff like that. It was just, I went to a seminar, you know, the guy, Danny Cage, who still runs the factory now, knew I was interested and just kind of opened the doors for me, which is, you know, that was very cool with Danny. And we're not, you know, tight, but we're still talking stuff like that. I'd love to get back down there. Actually, when is this isn't going to air for what? Like a week or two or whatever.
No, it'll be the next week, next Thursday. So we're taping this Friday. It'll be next Thursday.
I'm still blown it because I was going to say, hey, let me throw an advert for the Monster Factory out. They have a show, but it's actually Saturday the 27th. So it's tomorrow. So it won't do anything.
Oh, okay.
But look up.
Back. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. Look up the Monster Factory online or Twitter and keep up with their schedule. Their shows that to do is like 10 bucks. For 10 bucks, I used to see Matt Riddle versus Damian Priest, QT Marshall versus LSG, Nick Camarado was there, the Headbangers, Meanie. It was like, I always thought I was stealing, you know, because the tickets were so cheap. Like, that was good shit that they had. Deanna Purrazzo was the women's champion at the time. Like, they had great stuff.
Yeah. You
know, I think it flew way, way under the radar, but now a lot of their stars are on TV and winning championships and hanging out with Bad Bunny. So, good for them.
Yeah, Damian Priest, the Riddle, you know, Bunny, a bunch of those guys. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And QT got his big moment on AEW. It's cool to see.
Definitely. As far as kind of doing that and being a part of that side of the business and you know, really not doing the training, I've done training with Mike Quackenbush before in Wrestle Factory in Philly. Man, like this was a few years ago when I was trying to like get in shape, and I was trying to get in shape before going to not embarrass myself. It still was like, oh man. And then I was like, man, your lungs. And he was explaining, like, you know, your lungs are going to hurt because you're taking the back bump. You're not used to it and stuff. So, and you want to, like, it's funny. You want to make sure you're when you have your training partner with a guy that literally like won't hurt you, won't do anything stupid. So it's funny. You don't think about this stuff, but this is the stuff you have to think about if you really want to get into the business. Like, man, you got to make sure you're working with guys that are not going to hurt you, which is funny because when you hear guys say that, like, oh, I don't want to work with Vader. I don't want this guy's going to hurt me. Yeah. Actually, it really, really makes sense. I mean, you're putting your life on the line here for a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
So smart by you to realize, like, this isn't for me. I'd rather do the other side of the business.
Yeah. Well, at that time, because like I said, I was already in my 30s and had some injuries and just – my 20s were reckless, that kind of shit. So, but when we always joke on Keeping It 100 about backyard wrestling. And like, I even made a shirt of my backyard wrestling name and all this just to screw around. And I thought it was tremendous. But, you know, I did that a lot in my teens and we had fun with it. And it got to the point where some of the people that were more serious, we would watch tapes and we would use new moves and stuff. And, you know, you grow out of it or you get a girlfriend or whatever. But I always think like, you know, I was 18 when I kind of stopped screwing around backyard wrestling or whatever. And it's just like, man, if I would have just wandered over to like the Backseat Boys school or called a Monster Factory or something, who knows if I could have really given it a try, you know, but I'll never know. And life goes, it goes where it goes. There's always a reason.
Yep. Yeah. I think we were like 21. We were shocked. Like we were 21 and we like officially ended the league. I was like, I can't believe we're this old and we're still doing the backyard stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we had a couple of, like, let's just do this one more time. I think I did one when I was 22 or something.
I remember we were like super drunk. It was Halloween or something. And my buddy's obsessed with Halloween. He's like, let's do Halloween Havoc. So he called up a friend that never did backyard wrestling for him. We like shocked him and threw him in the mix. It was like so stupid, but you know, it was funny. It's just, you entertain yourselves. Like, my buddy pretends he's Austin and tries to act like that character. I put on like a whole Macho Man garb and I was pretending it was Macho Man and stuff. I had a blood capsule like put in my lip. Yeah. My buddy nailed me and my friend who's not used to it was like, oh my God, is hurt.
Yeah, it was. Well, my friend had a sweet little video camera, and you know, in the mid to late 90s, not everybody had like the little gimmick.
Yep.
He had the big shoulder ones, but he had the little one with the flip screen out. It was like most amazing technology ever in the late 90s, right? So he filmed everything. He'd film if we were partying. He'd film if we were driving around. He'd film if this and that. I had some friends that did some jackass shit. You know, we did the shopping cart into the bush and just fucking shit because you have the camera. And that's kind of, I think we saw the 2020 on backyard wrestling. And while it was meant to discourage you, it doesn't. People are like, wow, that looks like a great time.
Yep.
So where we kind of, I think we were doing it before that, but that's when we really started to mess around and do it. But it's exactly as you say, it was just fun. And then if you're sitting around one night and there's nothing to do, you're having some beers with your friends or whatever, and you think of a fucking promo or you think of a skit, you know, then the camera's there. That's basically what it was. We just had a lot of fun with it. And, some of the tapes still exist, but believe me, they're no good. So
so funny. Like my buddy will send me like this horribly grainy thing on his phone, like send me. And it's like an old clip of somebody getting, you know, broken over their head or whatever. And I'm like, holy shit. I go, how the hell did you find that? He's like, I guess he moved recently. So he found a bunch of tapes in his garage or something. He's like, look what I found. I'm like, holy shit. I was like, how the hell does that even still exist?
Yeah. People like the Conan Patreon or sometimes on Twitter, they'll be like, let's see some of those clips. And I think I posted like one. It's just me getting thrown through a ladder. And I was like, that's all you're getting. Because it looks like, looks like I'm tough and I'm taking a bump. The rest of it is just like bad punches, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we were ridiculous. We had finally Halloween costumes, and then, you know, a different character would be the same guy over and over and over. But you dress them up in the Halloween costume stuff. Yeah, it was completely ridiculous and stupid. And definitely, we took like legit bumps, which is stupid as hell, on like grass and baseball fields. It's like,
oh, yeah,
man, how dumb could we be?
We had at first it was a friend's backyard, so it was just on like grass, dirt, and rocks, you know, and concrete. And then we moved over into my driveway, my parents, like, you know, two car driveway, and we had a futon mat on the concrete. That's what you bumped on. So
that's awesome.
So no, of course the logic is no matter when you do a move, it's got to be on the futon mat. So yes. It's ridiculous. Yes. Really, yep. But
of course,
I mean, we did some stuff. There was fire, there was tacks and glass and just dumb shit. I actually have a couple of gig marks on my head. Like, they never went away. I'm like, I never thought I'd have scars for this shit.
Yeah. You know? Yep.
But it was fun. We still talk about it sometimes. A friend of mine, we're throwing back an idea. Like, he's like, now that you have some attention, you're doing these shows or whatever, what if we did a 20-year later, 25-year later, whatever it is at this point, and we could film something with a good camera and maybe sell DVDs of it, like make a fake documentary about it. So again, now we're 25 years older, but we're still having beers and talking about shit we can do and skits and whatever. Yep. Who knows? Maybe it'll be something that'll be put together someday.
Legit, me and my buddies do the same stuff. He's like, oh, what if we did this? What if we came back? Every Halloween, he's obsessed with Halloween or Mania. Like, either four, he'll go back. And then he goes, oh, look, and he sent me this thing. He found a boxing ring or whatever. He goes, you think that they would let us rent it out? He goes, we'll actually film it for real. Like, he's saying all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, he's like, I'm in my late 30s. So are you. Like, but he's dead serious. He's like, we should do it. And he goes, we could probably sell tickets. Like, I'm like, who the hell would go? But you never know. Maybe you can get a few people that may know who the hell you are, or may just want to see a catastrophe,
silliness. Yeah. Or you put it on a YouTube if it's monetized or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, but like, we've tossed ideas like that around. It's kind of fun. I'm like, well, what would it be about, you know? And he's like, he'll be like, I'll still be reckless and at the bar drinking, and you're now calm and married, and I got to bring the maniac back out of you, and I'll fuck with your house and stuff. And it was like, I'm like, damn, this could be fun, you know? But like, life gets in the way and everything like that. And then like other people that were involved, we would find them like sleeping in a truck and just stuff like that. You know, it's fun to talk about. Who knows?
I love it. I love it. You're too busy. You know, you're too busy with the shows. You're too busy with Conan. Yeah. You're too busy being a heat magnet, getting in trouble with Jeff Lane, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. I love Jeff. Jeff likes me, doesn't he?
I don't know. What? That was so funny. I was like looking at the Mike Bennett stuff, and I was like, did Disco purposely try to cause a little rift there between you? Because he purposely put it out there, like, oh, Jeff's too lazy to get it done. Oh, but that show doesn't really normally do interviews and stuff. So I don't know why he was trying to put that on Jeff. It's usually Jeff, Vince, and Glenn and Disco doing the show. So I just thought that was so funny. I was like, why is he trying to make Jeff look like, but I'm sure it was on purpose, trying to get under Jeff's skin.
Yeah, those guys have. I heard they're arguing like crazy on today's release that I haven't seen or heard yet.
But, oh, damn! I gotta download that.
But that's exactly what happened. I saw the back and forth, and again, I'm like, well, they don't really do interviews. And frankly, some wrestlers are like, Russo's brand, I'm not doing that. You know, I don't know. I'm not trying to. I love the shit. I love Vince, like I said, but you know, they might be more apt to do a show that's not behind a paywall.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think he would do it. And so I asked him because of what I saw going on Twitter. It never occurred to me that they should have first pick or something, because they didn't do interviews. If I would have thought that, I never would have stepped on anyone's toes or whatever. But it turned out to be a great, really great segment. Him and Disco debating with Nick Aldis as like the moderator. I thought, this is good shit. This is the generations kind of talking what they like, what they don't like, and hashing it out. I tried to share that far and wide on message boards and whatever. This is good shit. This is different. This is what you need, a guy from the 90s and a guy from today figuring it out, rather than just blocking each other on Twitter or calling someone an old, you know, you're just an old racist dinosaur or whatever the fuck. You know, these guys actually had a conversation. Found out that they had common ground, still had some disagreements. I thought it was great, you know. And again, I didn't, in no way was I trying to mess with Jeff or the brand or whatever. I think Jeff's great. I sympathize with Jeff a lot, you know.
I just thought that was so funny. Glenn did that on purpose to make Jeff like look bad, of course. But that show doesn't do interviews normally. You know, it's never like an interview. It's just a straight up like news show with Vince, obviously a part of it. So I just thought, I was like, wow, he's going to make Jeff look bad on this one. And then it's just as funny, like you kind of got thrown in there. So then people are like, oh, well, Feeney got it done. Uncle Jeff didn't get it done. Like,
He's always stealing things. He stole Hambone.
Yeah. Yeah. He stole Durban.
Yeah. Lighting torches. Yeah. Get him.
So how'd you get Mike Bennett? Or did Glenn get him?
No, I got him. I saw his email was listed on his Twitter. That's it. You know, you try to, people ask me about podcasting and stuff. And, you know, a lot of the advice I give, I don't even follow because I'm like, make sure it's consistent. My show's never been consistent when I did Creative Control. But I always say use any avenue that you can to get a guest. I've used websites. I've used Twitters. I've used, hey, do you know this guy? I've used, you know, I was reading a guy's book and I saw like a agent email in the back. I did that, you know, so if you're a podcaster and you're looking for guests, it's not as easy as it was when you and I kind of started, I don't think, but because guys are all doing their own thing or they want to get paid even, which I don't blame them, but don't ruin it. Damn you podcasters. Don't start paying them and ruin it for the rest of us. Yeah, but go any avenue you can and try to find someone that, you know, hasn't done too many interviews or they make sure you're familiar with them. Don't have a guy you don't know shit about because then you're going to sound stupid. Do your research. And it's just, it's funny. I thought I was late to the game and that was 2014. And, you know, shows keep popping up now with people that have never done it before. And it's like, you know, some stick around and some don't. And you see, you know, what's gonna last and what isn't. A lot of guys, you know, like actually I think someone sent an email to Raven Show and it was like, do you know you guys, the Raven Effect that outlasted Don Callis and Lance Storm, you outlasted Edge and Christian, and there was a few names, you know, because, you know, guys come in and they maybe they have a misconception of what it is or they don't have the time anymore and they're in and out, you know. So that's why I'm glad you're doing the Taskmaster show because Kevin's so great. And he has so many stories, and I'm glad he's doing it. And, you know, his perspective is tremendous because of where he was and where he sat, and he dealt with everybody, you know?
Yeah, very, very cool. Mm-hmm. I just love that, like, that part of it, like getting the guests and stuff, because it can be tough and it can be hard. So you're right. You try email, you try phone number. Hughes, he actually asked me, he's like, how'd you get this guest? And I was like, well, I knew somebody that knew them. So I asked them, then they told them it was okay to reach out to them. So they, like, there's always like a go between or something. So, I mean, some guests are just harder than others and stuff. And, you know, you maybe get a phone number or, you know, some avenue, email, I don't know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. I mean, there's a million different ways. Some guys are harder to get to than others. I love it. You know, when they get the email, they actually respond to the email. That's the easiest.
Yeah, that's see, and you've had such a huge list of guests, way beyond, you know, what I had and stuff. But I think anyone that I wanted that was like within reach, that was realistic. Like, of course, I didn't get Hulk Hogan or Steve Austin, whatever. But guys that I thought that were within reach that I always wanted to interview, I pretty much got anyone that I would want that I thought was realistic, like Raven and Conan, Eric, Bruce Pritchard back in the day, Russo, Ed Ferrara, Al Snow, Blue Meanie, Matt Riddle. You know, I'm drawing a blank. Tom Pritchard was on the show. He was great, you know, and I got everyone. So I started to lose interest in my show. It doesn't even, it exists, but it doesn't really exist. You know, I just put out best ofs, but that's what happened with me. I got all the wrestlers that I wanted or personalities or bookers that I thought I could get. And so I started to lose interest and I tried to do it daily. And like you mentioned earlier in the thing, like my workload is pretty nuts. And now I'm going to try to add my own daily show on top of it. It didn't work. So, but I still have an interest every once in a while. It's like, man, maybe I'm just going to get up and do a show, you know, but what happened to me was I ran out of guys or girls that I either thought were reachable or that I, you know, I got everyone. Like I got everyone that I wanted when I started thinking about Creative Control, except like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you have Kevin, you get to talk about booking. That's great. That's what I wanted Creative Control to be. So there's certain guys I didn't get. I was close with Jerry Jarrett, almost got him. I always wanted Court Bauer just because I was such a big fan of MLW Radio and MLW. There's a few guys that were involved in booking or creative that I wanted that I didn't get, you know, but can't win them all.
That's true. And I feel like with me, there's so many just random guys. I know my buddy Lavi always says it. He goes, you always get these random guys that everyone forgets about and stuff. And like, I don't know, maybe it's not great technically for like the audience that doesn't know who they are. But I don't know, for me, it's like a passion thing for me. It's like, I love it. Like Wendell Cooley, even my brother's like, Wendell Cooley, where's he from? Like asking me about him and stuff. And I was like, oh, it's like an old school wrestler. You know, he was big in Continental. He was in Memphis, like just trying to explain stuff. But I know like maybe the download numbers were just okay. It wasn't like, you know, phenomenal like when you have it like Road War Animal or something, but it's just like I just love getting these random guys, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's this week Corporal Kirshner, you know. Mm-hmm. This week George South.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I had George South, I'm like, man, I'm sure nobody will remember him or very few people, but like I do, and like I love those guys. It's just sometimes can get a little random, like Tony Garea, I know a lot of people know who he is, and that episode actually did really, really well. But sure. It's funny that people are like, oh, wow, that's a random one. You know, like those are the ones I like to get. Like Lance Von Erich, like that's random as hell, rare as hell. Like I love those ones.
Yeah, yeah. It's different because nobody else is getting them. So it leads people to your brand and your shows and the whole catalog and all that.
Now, speaking of brands and catalogs, I wanted to bring this back up because I just talked to Mike Durbin yesterday about this. Shocking, shocking turn of events for Get My Go. I mean, we were talking about huge to me, maybe not to the normal person. I messaged Jeff Lane about it as well. He agreed with me. Shocking. Three words. Corey effing.
Yeah.
Huge. What the hell? That was quick. What the hell happened?
Huge and monumental. It was funny because as we were recording, I remembered just a few weeks ago when we started discussing this guy, I was like, well, Corey, welcome to the team. I'll see you on the show in 5 weeks or something like that. And that's what happened, you know. It was funny, you know. I got sympathetic. I felt bad as we were talking to him. I'm like, man, we just went after this fucking dude just because he, you know, took John's side and kind of took shots of people on Twitter, and then we hammered him for 45 minutes. But that's the show. That's the concept of the show, is we're going to come after people hard that are, you know, podcasting or attempting a podcast and doing bad shows and associate with people that we don't like. And that's the whole thing. So he was just, you know, unfortunately he was in the line of fire. And, once we had him on, you know, he was fine. He was cool. He was, you know, just reminded me of a regular wrestling fan and everything, and a nice guy, and seemed a little nervous and stuff. So, but, I was glad that he did it because it is funny. What a turnaround. You know, he was just a subject of an episode and on team, you know, Reality Check or whatever. And the next thing you know, bam, you know, there's no one left except Chris Martin. You know, we've got everyone that's been on the side has come back away, and most of them have done the show. So, you know, it's funny. It was a good get. Mike took care of that one.
You were right, though. Man, that was quick. Holy crap. I was like, wait, what? I thought he was with, you know, John. I thought he was on the Cheap Pops Network, but I guess he's not. Not anymore.
It's funny how it caught on. It's still catching on and, you know, becoming its own little group. You know, it's like for us, for people that are listeners, it's like people will DM and be like, man, Corey Ryan's on the show. And then you think about people that have never heard of the show or any of us, or and would be like, well, who cares about that? What the hell are you talking about? But people that have listened since the beginning, it's like, it's great. It's like, wow, now they have a new guest. And holy shit, what are we going to hear this time? You know, like I think one of the first great guests that we had in was Chad, because it was like he actually met John.
Yeah, he knew him. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was great, you know, or having Jeff Lane on to answer was some of the great early moments, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy because have you ever met John in person?
No.
Wow. So, yeah. So that is like a rarity to actually get out there and meet him and be friends with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the real world.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say that Husey brought him to me. Husey denies it. And then that's when I was just starting up. I had done Creative Control for like 6 months or something. Husey had just joined. And, you know, John emailed me or whatever it was. And I'm doing this show. And, you know, I was looking to fill slots. So I was like, all right, Wrestling with Reality, that's a cool title. And I almost brought him on sight unseen because I was looking to fill slots. Like I listened to the show a little bit, you know, but I didn't study it or anything. So immediately when he was on the show and he started doing shit like challenging Meltzer, and then he's going to go after Matt Kuhn, and then I was like, man, this, like, I don't really want this guy representing me. So I didn't have a problem the narrative is always like, Joe got mad because I left. No, I never had a problem when he left. I was kind of glad that he left because I didn't like what he was doing. And but I never met him. I only spoke on the phone with him a couple of times, and we did some shows together. He did mine a couple of times, and I was on Husey's when he was on and shit like that. So that's it. That's my only interactions with him, really, other than putting his show up or trying to get him a sponsor or whatever. So it's funny how things have gone, and it's been like, it'll be a year soon. I'll have to say to Mike, because he knows I love anniversaries, like, dude, you got to do a 1 year anniversary show or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's coming up? I think Husey said, Get My Go Mania. So we'll have to plan something awesome for WrestleMania week. I don't know what it's going to be, but
are you guys still as into it as you once were when you first started?
I'm not, and I don't mean that to insult, you know, Mike or Husey or Rob or anyone that's done it. But like I said, we got Jeff on. Jeff Lane got to respond.
Yep.
We got Chad on. He was a unique story. We had the big Christmas party. We've had plenty of, you know, Ben Hameen on was funny as shit. You know, he was super intelligent. And, but I liked when we made fun of John's crazy, you know, grandiose claims and shit like that. When we do a show now and all we do is pick a part that John didn't know, or John thought Bret Hart won the Intercontinental belt in 88. No, it was 91, stupid. I'm like, yeah, that's funny, but it's not as funny as the old stuff used to be. You know, just making fun of his incompetence is funny, but I thought making fun of his, you know, lunacy was way better. And, so I don't know. It's still fun. It's fun to get together on Saturdays and do it. But I think the initial like excitement for it, it's not really there anymore, you know, but when there's the right kind of show and the right material and the right people are on with us, I'm still certainly having a great time. You know, we all laugh. So that's what it's about.
I feel like if it dips a little, then you get Corey Ryan and it kind of brings you all the way back.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just so funny. Cause I messaged Durbin. I was like, how the hell, you know, how did you pull that off? Whatever. I was just so curious because he was like, I don't know, to me, it was like a flash. Like he was literally just on with John not that long ago. And then like talking to Jeff Lane and stuff. And just like you said, it's like funny in that world. Like we know all the guys. So I was like, kind of like, oh, who's your favorite? Like, I love the Simple Man. And like Durbin's like, oh, that's, oh fuck. I forget his name. Miller. Like, oh, that's Jeff Miller. Blah, blah, blah. like you laugh and stuff. Like if somebody else were listening to us, like a normal, like brand member, they'd probably be like, who, or you know, just yeah, a normal fan general, be like, who the fuck is the Simple Man? What the hell are you talking about? It's a song by Leonard Skinner, or whatever. Like people would be like, what, Corey Ryan? No one's heard of him. What do you mean? But like in that world, like I'm always entertained by it, so I'm always like, man, that's so funny. Like some of those guys are great. Like funny in their own way, or the way you guys present them could be funny. So in that small ecosystem, it's like, man, that's just so funny. Like Corey F and Ryan.
Yeah, but it's. It's funny too, because when we started doing it, it's like we didn't care if anyone listened. We were doing it for our own enjoyment.
Yep. Yep.
And then once people caught on to it, like you or Chad or Jeff or whatever, and it's like, oh shit, people are listening and they're enjoying it. Then it became like, well, we're going to have to keep this going, you know? And, I don't have a problem with still doing it. It's always going to be fun to do, but I don't want it to run its course either. And it runs its course before we know it, you know? And then,
yep.
So then people turn against you and you're the asshole still doing the show that's no good anymore. So, you know, but it's been a lot of fun. I can't believe there's shirts and
it's
exactly like you said. We all get it. We know the names and the characters or who are the characters we have in our mind. So we get it, but it's always funny. Like Conan and Disco have this, they're like, what? You're spending 2 hours a week to just talk about some dude. Like this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, you know, like, but the people that get it, get it.
I love when Conan rips Get My Go, the guys' names. Yeah. Like you said to me, like it's open for grabs. If I read the plugs and he rips it, it's open for grabs. Yeah. I love that. It's so funny.
That was some of the heat before, and I talked about this on Get My Go, but and it's been denied. But I know that when I would plug him on Keeping It 100 and Conan would make fun of his name or say it was a shitty guest, like he would get mad. Like, this isn't good promotion. What is this shit? And I always like, I remember Husey asked me, he's like, does it ever bother you when he fucks with the plugs? And I think he was asking for John, right? And I was like, no, I mean, it doesn't bother me when they shit on me. It's part of the show. I knew what I was getting into and I'm getting to announce your guys' names and episodes for, you know, multiple tens of thousands of people. Like, they're going to remember the name Husey now. They're going to remember the name, unfortunately, John Langland. Or Hambone, or they might not have known about, you know, Taskmaster Talks. Maybe they didn't see it, you know, be shared or whatever. And then they hear it on Conan and they discover it. So it's worth, it has its worth just to be mentioned. And John didn't get it. He wanted to be serious. He wanted to be taken seriously. He wanted to be a big taken as a big deal. And it's like, man, you just started. No one knows who the fuck you are. This is part of it, you know?
Yep.
This is what happens. And he didn't like it. So that's part of the reason he split, I think, because he found that he wasn't getting, he didn't think it was worth it, you know? So.
Man, it's like kind of, I know any publicity is good publicity is the line, but it's really true.
Yeah, it is. That's why I don't like I don't care when I'm mentioned anywhere. You know, it's always, you know, people are talking. If they're not talking about you, then there's a problem, especially if you're doing something that's public, even if it's not, you know, it's public in our little wrestling podcast world or whatever. It's still, you know, then people recognize your name. They take you more seriously.
And, for sure.
That's why the Conrad stuff was good for me, because I did Conan show and I was doing Creative Control Network stuff. But then bringing on someone like Animal and then starting to work with Conrad, and then holy shit, he's working with Raven now. Like each little step that I did, I think, you know, gave me a little more credibility, where that's what you need to do. Take, like I said early in the show, take the opportunities. You have to take them, you know, and at least think of it. Like, don't just say no to something because you're worried about time or this and that. If you think it could be something, grab it and it'll work out. You know, you'll figure it out. And that's what I've done. I've turned down some opportunities too. I haven't taken everything, but you got to just try to judge them right the best you can.
Yeah. Very, very, very true. Now, as we hit the wind down, head towards the finish, what do you got going on for yourself though? Like, are you going to be being more of an on-air character for your own show? Are you going to be branching off and doing other things? What's been going on with you? Or are you strictly focused on Conan and your responsibilities behind the scenes? And obviously on air as well with Conan.
Yeah, it's kind of the same as it is right now. We just had an incredible month for Keeping It 100 where it's been Conan's passion project for a long time. Passion projects means you're not making a whole lot of money, right? But you believe. Right. So now I think we're finally starting to pay off. The Patreon's going well. The YouTube's going well. You know, I give Husey his credit for that. He put the time in when I wasn't willing to, you know. And we moved to Spreaker. The Spreaker numbers have been good. So all these things are starting to add up. And we all had a great month based on the work we did on the show, Husey included. So it's going to be a good year. Things are looking good for that show. So, of course, when things are looking good and the money's going up, that's going to get the bulkier focus. So I'm doing a lot of stuff for Keeping It 100. I keep the Patreon going. I, you know, edit the show, record the shows. Obviously I send Husey clips for the YouTube. We're talking about doing, finally doing an Instagram for the show, maybe a TikTok. Like, Conan wants to hit everything we can hit now. And, you know, that's where I come in. You know, he's like, at first I was like, yeah, I'll ask someone to do the TikTok. I don't know anything about it. He's like, well, learn it. Why wouldn't you learn it? Why wouldn't you learn something new? You know, why would you want to bring in someone else? You know, if there's money to be made, then it's the three-way pie. Why would you want to give up your slice? You know,
right.
Try it yourself, you know, and that's always like, he was hard on me a lot on the show in the beginning and all this, but he's always given really good advice. Even if it's comes across like he's fucking with you or he's shitting on you or he's, you know, bullying you or whatever, it's always, there's always a message in, and I've always taken, you know, the messages from it. And that's like a lot of the stuff that he's taught me and said to me helped me, you know, go off and do other things. And I'm sure the credibility of that, Conrad went, oh, he works on Conan show. Let me give him a shot. Raven, he co-hosts with Conan at Disco. He must be able to hang with them a little bit. Let me bring him on, you know, and shit like that. So yeah, I always, we bust balls about it. And Conan's like, would you have these other shows without Keeping It 100? And I'm usually like, no. Probably not, you know?
Right.
So I'm always appreciative of that spot. And it does get a lot of my time because it's becoming a very, very big success, bigger than it was. So I'm always working on Conan stuff. That's like I said, you never put the phone down. I'm always plugging on social media or emailing for sponsors, whatever, which I do the same thing for Creative Control shows, always looking for sponsors, but Keeping It 100 is the biggest piece of the pie. I get to goof off with Raven for 2 hours every Thursday night, which is fun. I don't have any other responsibilities really, except being a goof with him and Rich Bikini. I do find sponsors for that show as well, but that's not that time consuming. Get My Go, I do every Saturday. You know, the Creative Control Network shows, their show is coming out almost every day. I think some guys are dropping off, so there might be some open slots coming up. I had an MMA show. I don't think it's going to last. My guys, the four sportsmen that have been around since like week one, Some of those guys, you know, their work hours increased or they had another kid, whatever, and they might not be able to do it. So there might be some spots coming. There's always, I just like to keep it, keep a variety. You know, I don't just want, I've turned down wrestling shows, you know, cause I don't need anymore. Why would I, unless it was something special, real special. So that Creative Control Network's always there. I like having that as, even if you're, you know, Joe Schmo from Madison, Wisconsin, and you think you have a knack for podcasting, maybe I'm the guy that'll give you the shot. I like doing that, you know, whether or not we all break balls or not. Like, I helped Husey, you know, I did, and I helped Durbin, and I helped, you know, a lot of people. So that's good to do. So Creative Control Network's always going to be there. Keeping it 100 is going to be a big focus. Raven's fun to do. Get My Go's great. And now I added the Conrad stuff, which, like I said, I really have it down. So it's not as much of a ball breaker as it was before, where it would be like a whole afternoon or something. I got it tight where I know what time I'm going to spend on it, you know, and since I had the year off from doing the shows, I've just gotten better at production and editing. So now I'm better at that show too. So that's pretty much where I'm at with Creative Control, which was my start. Like I said, with the wrestling side of things, I don't know. I've kind of ran out of guests. It's an up and down thing. If I get way back into wrestling again, then I want to talk to, you know, LSG from Ring of Honor or whoever I can get, you know, maybe I could get Jericho or whatever, or, you know, who else, or, MJF, stuff like that, guys that I haven't talked to, but maybe I'm into them now and I'm fans of theirs now. So that could come back. I like doing the daily concept because I could talk about other things, you know, where I would have an interview with Jackie the Joke Man or an interview with Mick Wall, who was a rock biographer and stuff like that. That's what I wanted to expand, where I could talk to other people that they're promoting other things. I talked to Steve Schripper from The Sopranos. That was great. That's what I had the most fun with towards the end of Creative Control Daily. So I want to bring it back. I don't know what the concept's going to be, how often I'll be able to do it, if it's going to be back to wrestling, if it's going to be a mix, if it's going to be back to the daily concept. I don't know, but you know what? It's always going to be there. I'm never going to take it down or something. It'll always be waiting for me if I need it, you know, but that's where I'm at now. It's a lot to talk about, but that's what I got going on, all those different things, you know?
Now here's going to be the long part for you, the plugs. Give us all your plugs, and you got so much shit going on.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll start at the beginning of the week, right? Every Monday.
You got it written down? You got it on your phone or something?
I'm looking at my phone so I can not screw anything up. So you got Raven Effect comes out every Monday, and it's Raven, me, and MLW announcer Rich Bikini. He was on WWE. He was a SmackDown lead announcer for a bit, NXT. Funny guy. We discovered we have kind of a weird chemistry now that, you know, people are really starting to enjoy it. It's not a wrestling show. It's not anything. It's just silliness. You know, it could be, and I think we spent the bulk of the time last night recording talking about Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner and what the rules and cartoons were. I swear to God, like, it's whatever. If you know Raven and you know,
his mind,
it's a step into Raven's mind, and we're just hanging on, right? Thursday is when Keeping It 100 with Conan comes out, and obviously it's me, Conan, and Disco. I've been doing it 4 years. They've been doing it, four and a half, almost five. And, another show where it's just become a very, you know, coherent, tight product. You know, when I do the show now, I don't have notes. I just know where things go now because I've been doing it for so long, and people sometimes say, well, it's a little repetitive, but then most of the people that listen like the repetition. They want to hear the Disco List every week, even if a word didn't change. And it was us that actually got tired of doing it. So now it's a special thing. But so that comes out every Thursday. I started a secondary Keeping It 100 show called K100 Rehash, which comes out Mondays. And that's just me going through the back catalog for maybe stuff that people missed. I've done 11 of them so far. Last week's was just the best of Dave Meltzer's appearances on the show. So I'm going to do some of those. Best of Jericho, best of, Raven, you know, guys that appeared a lot, best of Cyrus. And I'll throw different segments in there. I also threw in like the Kevin Gill saga where him and Conan had mega headbutting heat, and he eventually quit the show after this one last argument. So some of those were in there. You see me kind of, poking my head out and becoming a part of the show in some of the segments, and then busting my balls about things. I'm looking for the Creative Control Network announcement just to see how much they were like, what? I can't wait to put that on Rehash, you know?
Yeah.
So that comes, that's every Monday. It's on the same feed as K100. As far as, you can get My Go on all the podcast providers. You can get it on its own YouTube channel. But it's not officially official like Creative Control Network, because if we had it on with the Creative Control Network shows, we were worried about it getting things pulled down or whatever.
Getting in trouble.
Goes its own thing, because it might join the other shows at some point, but just not yet. So that comes out mostly on Saturdays or Friday nights. Came out last night, this week, Thursday night, the Corey Ryan show. So on the Creative Control Network, I got an honorable mention with Shane Hagedorn and Jeff Schwartz. And Shane was a wrestler and a manager in Ring of Honor and actually worked behind the scenes in the office and the warehouse. He did everything from Ring of Honor until Sinclair took over. Now he actually is like a jack of all trades for AEW. So he knows, you know, like I said, Conan and Disco Busballs. Like, who? Shane's been around. He knows his shit. He's worked in the industry, you know. And his co-host Jeff is just like the biggest Ring of Honor, you know. He's very knowledgeable. He's a historian. He knows the cards. He knows what happened. So they do an honorable mention. It's basically the history of Ring of Honor. Every week they do something different. It's a fan vote. Say, hey, do you want to do us to do Supercard 8, whatever? Do you want us to talk about Kevin Steen versus Jim Cornette? So it's a good show for Ring of Honor fans. You know, if you're in that, if you were a big fan in the 2000s of it too, it's good to look back. Eyes Up Here with Francine comes out every Saturday with Francine and Chad from the Two Man Power Trip. I was glad to get those guys on board, Francine especially, because that's another name, you know, it'll lead people. And Chad does a good job. So their show's kind of, you know, a mishmash. It's whatever they want to talk about. There's wrestling guests, but they'll also talk about Disney World. They'll play games, things like that. People seem to enjoy it. And we talked about Shane Helms. Highway Helms was on for a few years. It's still technically a part of the network. We'll see what we can get from Shane as he's back with WWE. WrestleMania season, I don't know, but he's trying to get one out this week. So Husey on a Tuesday, hello. He's been around with me for more than 2 years, maybe almost three. He was one of the first shows, and he does, you know, a comedy show and is able to get some great guests. There's some big name wrestling guests, but there's also big name comedians and writers and directors. He's gotten some things, you know, you wouldn't expect. Like, he got the director of Christmas Vacation and had a discussion with him. And then he had the director of American Psycho and did a special on that. So it's a very unique show. Outlaws and Gunslingers just came aboard. That's Bang and Dang, who used to be involved with John Wang. Yes. And split out on their own very soon thereafter. And again, I saw a unique show. It's about the Old West or the Mafia. There's going to be Mafia specials. It's not, hey, I watched AEW, or hey, it's a Nitro Rewind. You know, it was something different. So I gave them a chance. They've been doing some good stuff. It's catching on in that world. You know, I've been sharing it in these Wild West Facebook groups. People really like it. So that comes out every Tuesday. Usually comes out Monday or Sunday. Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan comes out every Thursday. Of course, that's Kevin and yourself. Just doing a deep dive into some great topics with Kevin. You know, you've gone over different pay-per-views. You've gone over the NWO. You've gone over Mick Foley and stuff like that. So I think anyone that's a wrestling fan and enjoys the Conrad deep dives or listens to Meltzer, reads the Observer, Flashbacks, whatever, and you love that Monday Night Wars era, like, Kevin's the voice that you definitely want to hear from. So that, and that comes out every Thursday. The Four Sportsmen, we'll see. It's kind of a loose schedule now. Those guys have had some changes in their lives. One episode did come out yesterday. They did 100 episodes with me, so if they got to move on, what are you going to do? They did a great job. They've been around. The Mike Durbin show, Mike, you know, he'll release a show or two a month. It's always an interesting guest. Like I said, kind of like Husey, he'll have wrestling guests, but then he'll have music discussions or kind of just like a group together, just goofing off, you know. Get My Go was born on the Mike Durbin show and on Creative Control and on Husey when we would just have each other on and fuck around, you know. Yep. And Way Back Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley. Jim Valley, well known in the newsletter world and all that. He was actually sick for quite some time. He's making his way back. He's out of the hospital. Pat's been doing it with guest hosts. Pat was well known for writing for The Torch and all that. And their podcast is a look back at, you know, a wrestling show or a pay-per-view, and they'll put out an hour a week. So if they're doing like WrestleMania 15, they'll watch the first hour, cut it, come back the next week to the second hour, whatever. That's a fan vote as well. And Pat's, you know, he's been around a long time writing and recording about wrestling. So he knows what he's doing, and he has a great following too. He's pretty funny. And
I've been on there a few times. Love that show.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. I stepped in a couple times for Jim too. If I forgot anything, I don't know what it is. I feel like I actually named everything for once. I usually do forget something, but that's it. Creative Control Network's at the CC Network One on Twitter. I'm at JFFeeney3RD, ProWrestlingTees.com/CC with Joe Feeney. Keeping it 100, K100 Conan at Twitter or on Twitter or Facebook. That's it, man, I think. Yeah.
Wow, you nailed everything. You're a true pro.
Jeez. Man, that's one of the best compliments I ever got podcasting was when I had Jeff Jarrett on like second or third time. So Jeff was another guy I got that I was like, whoa, you know, he's promoting GFW and they're going to have they're doing a loop. One of the shows is in Scranton. One's in like New Jersey, whatever. It was a few years ago. And so I had him on, and at the end of the show, because he was always like, you probably had Jeff on a few times, right?
Yep. Yep.
He's very, if he says he's on from 110 to 125, that's it. He's out. Yes. 125 is fucking out. So you got to be, you can't just try to extend it. He's not going to do it, and you'll sound like a jerk when he quits on you and says that my time's up. So I was always real, I paid a lot of attention to how much time I had left and all that. So towards the end, you know, I nailed it. I named every GFW date, I named his social media. You know, I don't know if he had a t-shirt store, maybe whatever he had going on, I hit. And he was like, this was a really great interview, man. You know, you nailed all that stuff at the end. You're very professional. And I was like, getting pretty good at this, you know? And it was Jeff Jarrett saying it. Jeff, yep. He's Jeff Jarrett. So that was great. But yeah, that was one of my best podcasting compliments. But
he is pretty precise and pretty exact. I remember he's like, we have between 18 and 22 minutes. It's like, awesome. Okay. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think I had him on three times. Each time was like around that. It was like, do you have 25 minutes? Like it's like, I don't know if he's going on to the next call, if he has an appointment, but he is like to the minute. Like if you're like, you're like, thank you, Mr. James. Like, thank you for so much. Boom, he's gone. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically what it is. He's hanging up with you and he's talking to me, or he's hanging up on me and talking to Pat McNeil or something, you know, or Meltzer.
All right, Mr. Feeney, thank you so much for all the time. Good luck with all the shows and everything you got going on. Just wanted to thank you so much for all the time you gave me today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was good talk, man. Thanks for having me on.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.